إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة في الله، موضوعنا في هذه الجلسة الكلام على توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى وأهمية معرفته. إن المسلم يعلم أهمية علم التوحيد بكون الله سبحانه وتعالى أرسل رسله وأنزل كتبه في تقرير هذا التوحيد وفي الجهاد عليه وفي تقريره في نفوس الناس، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وما من نبي يرسله الله سبحانه وتعالى إلى قومه إلا كان أول قوله لهم: اعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا.
شيخ سجن، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبينا الكريم، أما بعد. الشيخ سجن إخوان، by first reciting some of the آيات from خطبة الحاجة that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم is to teach the Muslim. And then he went on to say, my brothers in Islam, today inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to talk about the issue of at-tawheed and the importance of at-tawheed and the importance of a Muslim knowing the issues that are surrounding this tawheed. He went on to say that the Muslim becomes aware of the importance of tawheed when he realizes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all of his messengers and he has sent down all of his books and he has caused them to make jihad for this issue of tawheed. And there is not a prophet except that prophet came to his people. And the very first statement that he said to his people was, worship Allah and do not take for yourselves any partners alongside of him. And also the Shaykh went on to cite an ayat from the Quran to prove this point. And that ayat is the statement of Allah Ta'ala, and verily we have sinned, to every single group of people, a messenger telling them to worship Allah and to stay away from the taghut.
لقد كان الناس أول الأمر على عقيدة سليمة وفطرة مستقيمة لا يعبدون إلا الله تعالى وحده لا شريك له، ثم بعد ذلك دب الخلاف فيهم وانتشر فيهم الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: كان الناس أمة واحدة فبعث الله النبيين مبشرين ومنذرين. وذلك أن آدم عليه السلام لما مات بقي أبناؤه بعده 10 قرون لا يعبدون إلا الله، ثم بعد ذلك حدث فيهم الشرك، وذلك أنه كان فيهم قوم صالحون يأمرونهم بالخير وينهونهم عن الشر، ثم مات أولئك فحزن أصحابهم حزنا شديدا لموتهم، فسول لهم الشيطان أن يصوروا كل رجل من هؤلاء صورة يعلقونها في مجلسه، حتى إذا رأوها تذكروا أعمالهم الحميدة وصفاتهم المحمودة فعملوا بها وتأسوا بها ولم ينسوا ما كانوا عليه من عمل صالح، فمات قرن والناس على هذا الاعتقاد، ثم خلفهم قرن آخر فغلوا في تلك الصور، وسولهم الشيطان أن من تقدمهم من علمائهم ومشايخهم لم يصوروا هذه الصور إلا ليستشفعوا بها عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. عندئذ عبدوها من دون الله سبحانه وتعالى. ومنذ ذلك الحين فشى الشرك وانتشر.
And then the Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that the people, after Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala created Adam and the descendants of Adam, he said that they, at the beginning of the creation, they had the same aqidah, that their aqidah was salima, and that their fitra, or the natural disposition that Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has created the human being on, they were on this fitra that was salima as well. And then only after that did the shirk come into existence. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, showing this point, that the people were only one ummah. He said, verily the people were one ummah. And we sent to them warners and glad people, give glad tidings to bring them to the truth. He went on to say that after Allah ta'ala created Adam, Adam's descendants remained on the Tawheed for 10 centuries. And then after that, being on this Tawheed and on this worship of Allah Ta'ala alone, the shirk was put into existence. And that was because there were some people who were righteous, some men who were salihun. And these men who were righteous, they used to order their people to do that which was good, and they used to prevent them from doing that which was evil. And so when these righteous men passed away, obviously their people became sad. And so Shaytan came to their people, and the Shaytan encouraged their people to make for them some pictures and some statues, and to put these pictures and these statues in the majlis where they used to gather, so that whenever these people will look at these pictures and these statues of these righteous men, it will remind them of the good characteristics that these men possess. And these pictures and statues will remind these people as well of the good deeds that these men used to put forth. So when the people who made the pictures and the statues passed away, then their descendants came upon the scene. At that time, Shaytan appeared to these people. And Shaytan said to their descendants, verily the ulama from amongst you and the shuyukh from amongst you, these pictures that you find here, they were using them to make the shafa'ah, or the intercession with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when their descendants heard about that, and that that was the behavior of the righteous people before them, they began to worship these men.
أرسل الله سبحانه وتعالى عبده نوحا عليه الصلاة والسلام لينقذ الناس من أوحال الشرك إلى رياض التوحيد. وهكذا بقي التوحيد في أصحاب نوح عليه الصلاة والسلام مدة لا ندري كم هي، ثم بعد ذلك وقع الشرك، فأرسل الله سبحانه وتعالى أنبياءه كصالح وشعيب إلى قومهم، حتى جاءت النوبة إلى إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام إمام الحنفاء، فأخرجه الله تعالى ولم يكن في الأرض يومئذ مسلم، فدعا إلى توحيد الله ووضحه وبينه. ومنذ وجود إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يخر التوحيد من الناس إلى قيام الساعة، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى، وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم يرجعون. وجعلها كلمة، يعني كلمة التوحيد، باقية في عقبه، باقية في ذريته، إلى يوم يرجعون، إلى يوم القيامة.
The Sheikh went on to say after this, Ikhwan, that the shirk started to spread since those people. So as a result of that, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent His Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam wa ala nabiyyina as-salatu wa salam to call these people to the understanding of at-tawheed and to the proper understanding of this tawheed. So he went on to say that the people remained that like that, the people remained on that until some other time, and we don't know exactly what time it was that the people of Nuh remained on this tawheed. And then there was a need to continue to send the Prophet. So Allah Ta'ala sent Salih, and then He sent Shu'aib, until finally it became the responsibility of Ibrahim, who came in the long lines of Prophet. So Ibrahim was sent to the people, and he was the Imam of the Hunafa, or the people who were Hanif. He went on to say that at the time that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Ibrahim to the people, there did not exist anyone else who was a Muslim with the exception of Ibrahim. He was the only person who had the understanding of this Tawheed. And he went on to say that since Ibrahim was sent, until Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala establishes the hour, that this Tawheed will forever be mixed up with the shirk. That they are always going to remain until Allah establishes the hour, Tawheed along with shirk. That the people are not going to be only people who are of the issue of Tawheed. He said the proof of that is the ayat of the Quran, in which Allah Ta'ala said, and we have made it a word that will remain with his descendants until the last time. So the Shaykh went on to say this ayat is proof that from the time of Ibrahim until Yawm al-Qiyamah, that the shirk is going to remain until Allah establishes the hour.
وقد بقي الناس قرونا طويلة على دين أبيهم إبراهيم لا يعبدون إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى وحده ولا شريك له حتى خرج فيهم رجل يقال له عمرو بن لحي. هذا الرجل كان على دين وعلى صلاح وكان يأمر بالمعروف وينهى عن المنكر حتى عده الناس من أكابر الأولياء وأفاضل الصالحين. فكان أن ذهب إلى جدة فوجد بها أصناما على سيف البحر فأخذها ووضعها في جوف الكعبة ودعا الناس إلى عبادتها من دون الله سبحانه وتعالى فعبدوها. ولذا فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر أن أول من غير دين إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام هو عمرو بن لحي ولذاك رآه في نار جهنم.
Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, that after Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent Ibrahim, the people who were out of his religion, they were only worshipping Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and not making any shirk with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they were holding on and following the deen of their father Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wassalam. And then after that long succession of people coming, there came a man by the name of Amr bin Luhayt. He said that this man, Amr bin Luhayt, who was from the Arab, he was also in the beginning on the religion of Ibrahim. And he was a righteous man who used to order people to do that which was good. And he used to prevent them from doing that which was evil. And the people considered him to be a wali from the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of his righteousness. And they considered him to be a man who was salih, who was a righteous and upright man. This man, Amr bin Luhay, he went on to Jeddah. And when he went to Jeddah, he saw on the beach some asnam, or some idol. When he saw these idols, he took these idols and he went back to the Kaaba in Mecca and he placed the idols in the Kaaba and he started to call the people of Mecca to start to worship these idols. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us in the authentic hadith, he said the very first person who changed the religion of Ibrahim was Amr bin Luhay, this man. And so as a result of that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw this man, Amr bin Luhay, dragging his intestines in the hellfire.
والجدير بالذكر أن مشركي قريش ومن تابعهم من العرب كانوا يعبدون هذه الأصنام وكان فيهم بقايا من دين إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يتركوه كله. ولذلك أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن تلبية نزار كما في صحيح مسلم أنه كان يقول لبيك لا شريك لك إلا شريكا هو لك تملكه وما ملك. فهم يعتقدون أن عبادة هذه الأصنام لا تغير شيئا من دين إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام، فقد وقعوا في هذه البدعة ونسبوها إلى شريعة من شرائع الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلما فشى هذا الأمر وانتشر وعبدت أحياء العرب الأصنام من دون الله سبحانه وتعالى، من تعالى ببعثة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم على حين فترة من الرسل.
We want to say, Ikhwan, that there is something that must be mentioned here, and that is that the mushrikun of Quraysh and the rest of the Arabs of that time who were following Quraysh, because Quraysh, they were always in the forefront. He went on to say that in spite of the fact that they were worshipping idols, and they were worshipping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they still had some of the remnants of the religion and the deen of Ibrahim that they were practicing. And this could be seen in many examples and many instances that they did not leave off all of the deen of Ibrahim. He said one of the examples of that is when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, whenever he wanted to go to the Kaaba, whether or not to make Hajj or Umrah, he used to make the Talbiyah. And in one of the formulas of the Talbiyah that show us that he was on the religion, that these people were still doing the things that Ibrahim was doing, was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say in this Talbiyah, O Allah, here I am for you and you have no partners. Here I am and you own everything and none of the other partners own you. So the Shaykh went on to say that the people, unfortunately, they fell into this bid'ah and this innovation of making this polytheism with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when this issue became widespread, and we find that the majority of the people started to partake in this shirk, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a favor upon the people, he sent his prophet and his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he sent him at a time in the succession of the prophets who preceded him.
فجاهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الله حق جهاده وحارب المشركين حتى فشى هذا الدين وانتشر ودخل الناس في دين الله تعالى أفواجا. وقد أخبرنا نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم عن كل شيء جرى وسيجري إلى قيام الساعة، ومما أخبرنا به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن هذا الشرك الذي حاربه وجاهد أهله سوف يعود في أمته مرة أخرى. فقد ثبت في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: لا تقوم الساعة حتى تضرب آليات نساء دوس حول ذي الخلطة. وذو الخلطة صنم كان يعبد في الجاهلية. وثبت في صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال كما في حديث عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها: لا يذهب الليل والنهار حتى تعبد اللات والعزى.
He went on to say that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the people with this message of tawheed, the message of calling the people to the oneness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the Prophet began to make jihad the true jihad for this word and for this understanding. And he fought against the polytheists to establish this word. He went on to say that when the Prophet began to do that, the deen of al-Islam began to spread amongst the people, until finally the people entered into the religion of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in droves and in great numbers. So the Prophet, the Shaykh went on to say, he has told us about every single thing that is going to happen from the time that he was sent until the time that the hour is established. And from the many things that he has informed us that are going to happen, he has informed us that this shirk is going to return back to his ummah again as it was once in this ummah, as it's been authentically reported in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not be established until you find a group of women worshipping some of the idols at al-khullas. He said that this thing, this khullas was some of the idols that the people used to worship during the time of Al-Jahiliyyah. And then he went on to cite another hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam Muslim on the authority of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the night and the day will not go except that there will be some people from my ummah who are going to worship Al-Lat and Al-Uzza.
فَجَزَاهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْ أُمَّتِهِ خَيْرَ الْجَزَى حَيْثُ أَكْمَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِهِ الدِّينِ وَأَتَمَّ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى بِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ النِّعْمَةِ فَمَاتَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَهُوَ نَاصِحٌ لِأُمَّتِهِ تَارِكٌ لَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَحَجَّةِ الْبَيْضَى لَيْلُهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكٌ وهو عليه الصلاة والسلام ما جاءنا في أبواب التوحيد والعقائد إلا بما جاء به المرسلون الأولون كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ما يقال لك إلا ما قد قيل للرسل من قبلك فالأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام كلهم دعوا إلى هذا الأمر وكلهم بينوه وكلهم وضحوه فهم عليهم الصلاة والسلام إنما بعثوا لأجل تقريره وبيانه لأن الخلق لم يخلقوا إلا لأجله كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
He went on to say, Ikhwan, after all of that explaining that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained to us and made clear to us all of these issues, and foremost amongst these issues is the issue of a tawheed. He made dua for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to reward him for what he presented to this ummah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, sending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he completed with him his deen, and he also completed his favor upon his servant by sending the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them. He said, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not die except that he left his community on the Muhajjat al-Bayba, or upon the clear argument. Its nighttime is like its daytime. No one will go off of it except that he will be destroyed. He went on to say that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came with the same message and with the same intent that we find all of the other prophets coming with. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and it is not said to you, O Muhammad, except that you are saying what the Prophet said before you. He went on to say that all of these prophets, when they came, this was what they were calling to, and this is what they were spending their time in doing. Because this is why Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created them. As Allah has said in the Quran, and I have not created the jinn and the human beings, except that they should worship me.
ومن هذه المقدمة يظهر لنا أهمية علم التوحيد وضرورته لكل مسلم يمشي على وجه هذه الأرض فإن توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى هو المقصد الذي خلقنا الله تعالى من أجله وسخر لنا جميع ما في السماوات والأرض من خيرات كما قال سبحانه وتعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين فإذا كان هذا هو المقصد من خلق الخلق وإيجادهم وخلق السماوات والأرض فهل يليق بعاقل أن يتشاغل عن هذا المقصد أو أن ينحرف عنه يمينا وشمالا؟ كلا. ومما يبرز أهمية علم التوحيد ويوضح ضرورته أن الله سبحانه وتعالى جعل الخصومة فيه فما من رسول إلا وينذر قومه الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى ويأمرهم بعبادة الله وحده لا شريك له فإذا كان جهاد الرسل وإرسالهم وإنزال الكتب في هذه القضية العظيمة أفلا يوليها المسلم اهتمامه البالغ؟ بلى والله. كذلك مما يظهر أهمية علم التوحيد ويجعل المسلم يعتني به عناية تامة أن وقوع الشرك في هذه الأمة سوف يحدث كما أخبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا سبيل إلى توقي الإشراك بالله تعالى إلا معرفة التوحيد.
He went on to say, Ikhwan, so therefore, we understand from all that has passed that the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely important. And from this brief introduction that the Shaykh has given already, we see as Muslims the importance that we should place upon this issue of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is this Tawheed that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created the creation. He went on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clearly established in the Quran and explained that He, Allah, has made everything subservient for us and to us because of this Tawheed. And he went on to read the ayah in the Quran when Allah ta'ala said, and I have not created the jinn and the mankind except that they should worship me. He went on to say in this ayah, I do not want from them to give me the rizq, nor do I want from them to feed me. Verily Allah is the most mighty, the most powerful, and Allah is al-Mateen. Allah is the most magnificent. He went on to say, so with this being the case, Ikhwan, that Allah Ta'ala has created you for the issue of a Tawheed, to worship Him. And Allah Ta'ala has made subservient to you everything in the heavens and the earth. Is it befitting for a person of intelligence to now, after knowing that, to have his mind to go on other than the way of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him for? He went on to say that also what we see that shows us the importance of this issue of Tawheed is the fact that Allah ta'ala has made the point of clashing between the prophets and their people is this issue of Tawheed. And that every time the prophets came to their people had a problem with this da'wah that the prophets made, calling them to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So Allah has sent down His book, and these books have caught and explained the issue of Tawheed. And Allah Ta'ala has sent down His messenger, and they have, as you have seen, caught and explained the issue of Tawheed. So with that being the case, it becomes necessary for all of us to pay close attention to the issues of Tawheed. Also, another important point and fact that needs to be discussed is that this ummah is going to return back to a shirk, as the Prophet told us when he told us before in this hadith that went past, that the shirk is going to return back to this ummah. There are going to be a group of people from this ummah who are going to worship idols. The Shaykh went on to say that the only way that we're going to be in a position to deal with this and to eliminate this is by us knowing its opposite, the opposite of shirk, and that is a tawheed.
أن تعرف خطورة الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، وأن الوقوع في الشرك سهل يسير يبتلى به عقلاء الناس ودهاتهم، فتأمل ما حكاه الله سبحانه وتعالى عن خليله إبراهيم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، حيث أن إبراهيم الذي كسر الأصنام بيده، إبراهيم الذي ابتلاه الله تعالى بكلمات فأتمهن، إبراهيم الذي قال الله تعالى عنه وإبراهيم الذي وفى، إبراهيم الذي ابتلاه الله سبحانه وتعالى بالأمر بذبح ابنه فامتثل أمر ربه سبحانه وتعالى، إبراهيم الذي أخبر تعالى عنه أنه أمة وأنه حنيف وأنه لم يكن من المشركين. هذا النبي الذي أرسله الله سبحانه وتعالى ووصفه وأثنى عليه بهذه الأمور، مع ذلك يخشى أن يقع هو وأبناؤه في الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، فيدعو الله متضرعا له أن يعصمه ويعصم بنيه من الإشراك بالله، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام. وقوع عبادة الأصنام من إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام أو من غيره من الأنبياء مستحيل، لكن الله سبحانه وتعالى أمره أن يستعيذ به من الوقوع في الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى ليعلم الناس خطورة الإشراك وأنه سهل الوقوع، وأن أكثر العقلاء في الجاهلية وقعوا فيه ولم يقلعوا عنه. فإذا كان هذا حال إبراهيم عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي وصفه الله تعالى بما سمعتم، فما الظن بمن دونه من الناس؟ لا شك أن احترازهم وتوقيهم من الوقوع في الأشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى يجب أن يكون أكثر. ولذلك يقول الإمام إبراهيم التيمي رحمه الله تعالى: ومن يأمن البلاء بعد إبراهيم.
Sheikh went on to say, Ikhwan, if we want to know the danger of falling into this shirk, then all we have to do is concentrate for 1 minute on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us about His Prophet and His Messenger Ibrahim. In the Quran, Allah ta'ala has given us a story about Ibrahim. And He has told us that Ibrahim was the one who broke the idols with his own hand. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tried Ibrahim with some words, and Ibrahim took care and he was successful in that trial. Allah ta'ala described Ibrahim and He said about Ibrahim, and Ibrahim, the one who waffa, the one who took care of his contract with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. You all know that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He ordered Ibrahim to slaughter his son, to sacrifice his son. And he obeyed the order of Allah Ta'ala. Ibrahim, who Allah Ta'ala described as being an ummah by himself. Ibrahim, who Allah Ta'ala described in the Quran as being hanif, one who was upright, who was righteous, and free from shirk. Allah Ta'ala has told us about Ibrahim and He said he was not from the mushrikeen. Allah Ta'ala has described Ibrahim with all of these superlatives in the Quran that you see right before you. But in spite of that, we find Ibrahim, along with all of what Allah has told us about him, we find Ibrahim being a person who was afraid of falling into shirk. And we find him being afraid of allowing his children as well to fall into polytheism. And that is the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the Shaykh wants us all to concentrate on, and that's the dua of Ibrahim when he said, and protect me and my children from worshipping idols. The Shaykh went on to say, Ikhwan, it is impossible for Ibrahim or any other of the Anbiya of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make this shirk. That none of the prophets of Allah are going to fall into polytheism. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in telling us about this ayah, that Ibrahim made the dua that Allah protect him and his children from falling into shirk, this is a lesson from Allah showing us that it is easy for a person to fall into disbelief. Why? Because we have, number one, Ibrahim making the dua to be protected from it. Number two, we have the people of al-Jahiliyyah, the people who were there during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before that time, people who were endowed with great intellect, they also fell into this shirk, into this kufr. He went on to say, if this is the case with Ibrahim, and this is Ibrahim's condition, that he is a prophet who has been described as Allah describes him, but in spite of that, we see that there's a possibility or this statement was made by him, then what about anyone else who's less than Ibrahim? Then it becomes obviously easier for everyone else to fall into this problem. And this is why the famous scholar Ibrahim al-Taymi said, who is going to be able to be successful in the test as Ibrahim was successful.
وبالرغم من اهتمام الشرائع السماوية بتوحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى، وعلى وجه الخصوص شريعة نبينا محمد عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، حيث أن القرآن الكريم كله في تقرير التوحيد وفي بيانه وفي الإخبار عنه وفي النهي عن الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. وبالرغم من أن التوحيد هو السلم للدخول في دين الإسلام، وأن التوحيد إذا وجد مع الشخص فإنه ينجو من الخلود في نار جهنم ولو وقع في كبائر عظيمة، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما يرويه عن ربه تبارك وتعالى: يا ابن آدم لو أتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بطرابها مغفرة. بالرغم من ذلك كله يخرج أناس يعتبرون الحديث عن التوحيد ودراسته والاهتمام به أمرا هامشيا، أمرا ثانويا، لا يستحق كل هذا الاعتناء ولا يستحق كل هذا الجهد، حتى تجرأ بعضهم فقال إن التوحيد يعرف في 10 دقائق، مع أن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي هو أفصح الناس على الإطلاق جلس في مكة 10 سنين يقرر هذا التوحيد ويبدي ويعيد فيه ويجاهد عليه ويوضحه للناس، مع ذلك يأتي هذا ويقول إن علم التوحيد يؤخذ في 10 دقائق. لما؟ لأن هذا رجل قل نصيبه من العلم وقل فؤاده من معرفة الأولويات، فانطلق بهذه الكلمة المشينة، ولو تأمل لعلم خطأها العظيم، وأن توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى يجب أن نعتني به في كل وقت من أوقاتنا وفي كل مرحلة من مراحلنا، لأنه هو الذي ينجي من الخلود في نار جهنم، وهو الذي من أتى به فقد أتى بالإسلام الذي يريده الله سبحانه وتعالى. ولو لم يكن في هذه الكلمة الخطيرة إلا الاعتداء على علم التوحيد والتنقيص منه لكفى ذلك زاجرا ورادعا عن هذا الرجل وأمثاله من مواصلة المسيرة في التنقص من التوحيد والغض من جانبه العظيم.
He went on to say, Ikhwan, in spite of this fact that has everything that has been presented so far, in spite of the fact that all of the legislations and the books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down to the people, especially in our religion, because we find that the Quran, all of it, is concerning itself with this issue of a tawheed, and this issue of making the people detest this shirk, and making the people aware of the danger of this shirk. He went on to say that this tawheed, it is the first step that the person can enter into al-Islam. And this tawheed, it is the thing that will save a person from being one of the people who will remain in the hellfire forever, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has said in the hadith al-Qudsi, Allah ta'ala said, Oh my son, O sons of Adam, if you were to commit the sin that was to fill up the earth, and then you were to come to me, not making any shirk along with me, I will also give you the forgiveness likewise. If you were to commit all of the sins to fill up the earth, and you came to me not making any shirk, then I will forgive you likewise for all of those sins. So this tawheed, again, ikhwan, is something that no matter what, if a person commits sins and he comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not making any shirk with him, he's going to be successful and he's going to be saved. He went on to say that unfortunately people today, from the Muslims, They do not pay attention to the importance of this tawheed. And many people consider it to be from the affairs that we should say that they're secondary. He went on to say that this tawheed, unfortunately, is not being understood and studied by the Muslims as it ought to be. And he gives an example of a person who has the audacity to make the statement that the issue of a tawheed can be learned in the time span of 10 minutes. He went on to say this is a sad case, because when we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person who sat in Mecca and he called the people to tawheed for 10 years and he made jihad to establish this tawheed in their heart. Here you have a person who comes now and says that a tawheed can be learned in 10 minutes and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat and taught it and fought for it and was harmed for it for 10 years. He went on to ask the question, why would a person make a statement such as that? He said the reason for that is because this man, the one who made this statement, is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not blessed with a lot of knowledge, nor is he a person who has understood the importance of what is primary and what is secondary as it relates to the da'wah. He said if this person or anyone was to concentrate on this statement that was said, no doubt you would see the danger of it. And that is a statement that every Muslim should stay away from and should be wary of. He went on to say that this tawheed, ikhwan, it will save you. It will save you in this life and in the next life. And this tawheed is the Islam that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wants for His servant. And the person who falls into it, he is committing a terrible crime and a horrible crime that he should be aware of and that he should try his best to stay away from.
معرفة خلاف المتكلمين فيه والاطلاع على ما ذكره العلماء تفصيلا عن مسائل التوحيد، وإنما نعني معرفة القدر الواجب في هذا العلم المتين، فيعرف الإنسان ما يجب لله سبحانه وتعالى عليه من إفراد العبادة لله. كيف ذلك؟ يعلم أن العبادة هي كل قول أو فعل يحبه الله تعالى ويرضاه، فإذا علم ذلك علم أن كل قول وكل فعل يحبه الله ويرضاه يجب ألا يصرف إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى وحده لا شريك له. كذلك يعرف ما يضاد ذلك من الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، فيعلم أن الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى على قسمين: القسم الأول شرك أكبر يخرج من ملة الإسلام، ومعناه أن يتخذ الإنسان ندا يدعوه كما يدعو الله ويرجوه كما يرجو الله، فإذا وقع الإنسان في ذلك فقد خرج من دائرة الإسلام. ومما يوضح ذلك حديث سلمان الفارسي رضي الله تعالى عنه الذي أخرجه الإمام أحمد في الزهد موقوفا عليه، وهو قوله رضي الله تعالى عنه: مر اثنان على قوم لهم صنم لا يجوزه أحد حتى يقرب إليه، فقالوا لأحدهما قرب، فقال لا أجد ما أقرب، فقالوا قرب ولو ذبابة، فقرب ذبابة فخلوا سبيله، وقالوا للآخر قرب فقال ما كنت لأقرب لأحد غير الله سبحانه وتعالى شيء، فضربوا عنقه فدخل الجنة. فيعرف المسلم أن العبادة يجب أن تصرف لله تعالى وحده لا شريك له، الدعاء لا يكون إلا لله، وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا، وأنه لما قام عبد الله يدعوه كادوا يكونون عليه لبدا، قل إنما أدعو ربي ولا أشرك به أحدا. ويعرف أن الذبح تقربا لا يكون إلا لله سبحانه وتعالى وحده، فقد لعن الله تعالى من ذبح لغير الله، قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين، والنسك هو الذبح، فلا يذبح للأولياء ولا يذبح للقبور ولا يذبح للأصنام، وإنما يذبح تقربا لله سبحانه وتعالى وحده. فيعرف هذه الأمور ويدرسها مع العلماء ومع إخوانه طلبة العلم، كذلك يعلم أن هناك قسما آخر وهو الشرك الأصغر الذي لا يخرج من الملة ولكنه أكبر من جميع الكبائر. فالشرك الأصغر كالحلف بغير الله سبحانه وتعالى، ثبت عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: من حلف بغير الله فقد كفر أو أشرك. فالحلف بغير الله شرك أصغر لا يخرج صاحبه من دائرة الإسلام، ولكنه يوقع صاحبه في الإثم العظيم وفي الوزر الكبير الذي هو أعظم من الزنا وأعظم من شرب الخمر وأعظم من الربا. وهكذا يتعلم المسلم هذه الأمور ويطبقها عمليا ويكون دائم الصلة بها، سواء كان هذا المسلم قارئا أو غير قارئ، فالجميع يجب عليهم وجوبا عينيا أن يعرفوا هذه الأمور وأن يدرسوها. والطريقة السليمة لمذاكرة هذه الأمور ولمعرفتها حفظ كتب أهل العلم المعروفين بسلامة المعتقد وصفائه، كأمثال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى وشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية وتلميذه ابن القيم الجوزية والشيخ محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمهم الله تعالى أجمعين، وغيرهم من أهل العلم الذين يأتون بعدهم ممن يسير على منهجهم. فالطالب مثلا إذا حفظ الأصول الثلاثة وحفظ التوحيد وحفظ كشف الشبهات، وهذه من أجل الكتب وأنفعها التي تحفظ عقيدة المسلم من الوقوع في الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، أصبح لديه ثروة يستطيع من خلالها أن يعرف ما يجب لله سبحانه وتعالى عليه من توحيده وما يحرم عليه من الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. وقد كنا نعرف كثيرا من العوام الذين لا يقرؤون ولا يكتبون يحفظون هذه الكتب عن ظهر قلب ويحفظونها بفهم ومعرفة وإدراك، ولذلك أصبحوا متميزين في معرفة التوحيد من الشرك، بل إنني لا أبالغ إذا قلت إن كثيرا منهم أكثر معرفة بالتوحيد والشرك من بعض طلبة العلم اليوم. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى وأفعاله الحميدة أن يجعلنا وإياكم هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين، وأن يثبتنا على الإسلام والسنة إنه جواد كريم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
The Sheikh finished Ikhwan by saying, when he tells us about the importance of learning about at-tawheed and knowing about this tawheed, he said he does not mean by that statement that we should know and learn about tawheed, he does not mean by that statement or with that statement that we should learn about the khilafat that have been mentioned about the ulama concerning this tawheed. If you were to look at the books of tawheed, you will find that there's a lot of points of differences that the ulama of the past and the present have discussed. He said, this is not what I intend when I say to you brothers that we need to know about this tawheed. He said, but what I mean is that you need to understand all of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon you as it relates to you making your worship for Allah ta'ala and you making this ibadah. And he went on to give us the meaning of ibadah, and he said that it was every saying and every action that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala likes or loves and that Allah is pleased with. He went on to say, Ikhwan, so with this being the case, we have to give this issue its fair due and its right. He said that you have to know the opposite of this tawheed so that you can also be saved. He said, and in knowing the opposite of this tawheed, we understand a very important point, and that is that a tawheed is divided into two types, or that this shirk, which is the opposite of tawheed, it is divided into two parts. We have what is known as a shirk al-akbar, or the major shirk. The Sheikh went on to say that the person who falls into this is the type of disbelief that takes a person outside of the circle of al-Islam. It is when a person makes along with Allah, he creates along with Allah a nid or a partner. So what he does is, he calls on this thing other than Allah. And he makes supplications and dua to this thing. And he has hope that this thing is going to help him and benefit him. As it has been explained in the hadith of Salman al-Farisi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Imam Ahmed has brought this narration in his book Az-Zuhd. And this hadith is mawquf, or it stops with Salman. Salman is the one who relayed this message, and it is not a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Salman is the one who said this statement. Salman said that there were two men who were traveling, and they came upon a group of people, and they wanted to pass by these group of people. So the people of this area, they said to these two men, "We will not allow you to pass through our area until you slaughter for one of our idols." So the first man said, "I do not possess anything. I have nothing in my possession to slaughter for your idol." They said, "Then slaughter even a fly." So he slaughtered the fly, and they allowed him to pass through. And then the second man was told the same thing, to slaughter something for their idol. And he refused to do so, and he said, "I will not slaughter except for Allah Ta'ala." As a result of that, the people became angry with him, and they killed him by striking his neck. And so he eventually entered into paradise. So the Shaykh cited this example to show us that this shirk al-akbar, slaughtering for other than Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, making dua to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fearing other than Allah, this is the shirk that if the person does it, it takes you outside of the fold of al-Islam. He went on to say, the second thing that we need to understand that the Muslim knows is that the ibadah, this worship, which is every statement and every action that Allah ta'ala likes, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, it should be done only for Allah. As he said in the Quran, "And verily the masjids are only for Allah. So do not call anyone along with Allah in them." The Shaykh went on to say that slaughtering or sacrificing is solely for Allah and should be only for Allah. Anyone who commits it is making a major crime and a major sin. He went on to say that Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, he said, "Say, verily my salat and my nusuk." And he went on to say that this nusuk is my slaughter. "Verily my salat and my slaughtering or my sacrifices, my life and my death are only for Allah." He said, so therefore the Muslim does not slaughter for the awliya, nor does he slaughter for the grave, nor does he slaughter for any idols. So we have to learn this and we have to understand it. So that's the first division of a shirk al-akbar, the major shirk. The second type of shirk is a shirk al-asghar, the minor shirk. He said, when you hear the word minor, do not let it come to your mind that in fact this is an easy issue. He said that the small shirk is greater in the scales than the major sin. The kaba'ir, or the major sins that the person commits, the minor shirk is greater than that. As the Prophet ﷺ has shown us in the Quran, in the hadith, when he said in the authentic hadith, whoever swears by other than Allah, he has disbelieved or he has committed shirk. So this minor shirk is greater, ikhwan, than zina. And it's greater than drinking khamr or wine. And it's greater than devouring riba. But it does not throw the person who's committing it outside of the fold of al-Islam. So what we need to understand is that we have to learn about these issues of at-tawheed, and we have to apply them in our everyday lives, and we have to be upon them. Whether the person can read, whether he is literate or illiterate. And we have to know this, and it is wujub ayniyan, that it becomes a responsibility upon every single man and woman. He went on to say that the best way for the student of knowledge to learn about this tawheed is that what you should do, or what he should do, is he should begin to get the books of the ulama who are respected and who the ummah have testified to their scholarism. People like Imam Ahmed and Ibn Taymiyyah, and the student of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, also Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. We need to get the books that they have authored, and we need to memorize those books. The student needs to memorize the book Al-Asul al-Thalatha, and also Kashf al-Shubahat, as well as Kitab al-Tawheed. He said if the student was to memorize these books, and he was to pay attention to these books, and he get him understanding from these books, he will find that he will have protection based upon what he's read and understood from falling into this shirk and knowing the opposite of this shirk. He would have to say that he himself, he knows of people who have memorized these books and they are illiterate. They have memorized these books with understanding and deep contemplation and consideration. And he said, and I am not exaggerating when I say to you, that these people who I know, who are illiterate, and they can't read and write, who have memorized these books, he said that I do not exaggerate when I say to you, they have a better concept and understanding of the issues of a Tawheed than some of the people of knowledge, or who claim to be of Ahlul Ilm today. And after that, the Shaykh completed by making dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala to have mercy upon all of us, and to forgive all of us, and to make our way easy. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. The first question, ikhwan, is after Allah has said that He will forgive any sin other than shirk, then how is a person to obtain forgiveness for this great sin? After Allah has said that He will forgive any sin other than shirk, then how is a person to obtain forgiveness for this great sin? يقول الله تعالى إنه يغفر الذنوب كلها إلا الشرك. إذا وقع إنسان في هذا الشرك فكيف يغفر الله له؟
إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. إذا وقع الإنسان في الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى فإنه يكون كافرا خارجا من دين الإسلام، فلا يمكن أن يرجع إلى الإسلام إلا بالدخول في التوحيد من جديد والتوبة مما وقع فيه من الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى، فإن الإسلام يجب ما قبله. ولذلك فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخبر بهذا الحديث فقال: ألم تعلم أن الإسلام يهدم ما قبله؟ يعني يمحو ما قبله من الإشراك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. فالذي يقع في الإشراك يتوب الله تعالى عليه إذا دخل في دين الإسلام ووحد الله سبحانه وتعالى. نعم.
He went on to cite the ayat in Surah An-Nisa when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah does not forgive that you make shirk with Him, but He forgives everything other than that to whoever He chooses. He said if the person falls into this sin of shirk, then he is a kafir. He is a disbeliever. And he has to come back into al-Islam for the second time. And he has to make tawbah. But he should realize that al-Islam is something that has wiped away that which went before it. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in the authentic hadith, he asked the people and then he said, do you people not know that al-Islam destroyed or wiped away that which preceded it? Meaning that once a person comes into al-Islam, his coming into al-Islam serves as that which will wipe away his previous sins that he fell into, as well as the shirk that he committed. This is talking about the person who died committing this crime. The greatest shirk can take you out of the fold of Islam, but what if it is due to ignorance, i.e. this is all they know to be Islam? الشرك الأكبر أن وقع فيه الإنسان على الجهل لأنه يعلم هذا هو الإسلام، فما الحكم؟
الشرك الأكبر إذا وقع فيه الإنسان وادعى الجهل فإنه ينظر إلى ما وقع فيه، فإن كان من المسائل الظاهرة البينة الجلية عند أهل الإسلام فإنه لا يعذر بالجهل. فمثلا من سجد للصنم من دون الله سبحانه وتعالى فهذا لا يعذر بجهله، لأن هذا الأمر معروف ومشتهر وظاهر ولا يخفى على أحد من المسلمين أنه شرك. لكن لو وقع في مسألة خفية لا تظهر لأكثر الناس أو لأغلب الناس فإنه قد يعذر بالجهل والحال هذه. فالصحابة مثلا الذين استحلوا الخمر اعتمادا على فهمهم لبعض الآيات من كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى لم يكفرهم الصحابة ابتداء، وإنما أرسلوا إليهم لإقامة الحجة عليهم ولتوضيح المحجة، فلما بينوا لهم رجعوا، فعندما رجعوا لم يكن عليهم شيء من أحكام التكفير، بينما لو لم يرجعوا بعد إقامة الحجة لا وقعوا في الكفر بالله سبحانه وتعالى، لأنهم كذبوا الله تعالى في أخباره. فالخلاصة أن مسألة العذر بالجهل مسألة نسبية تختلف باختلاف الأشخاص والأزمان والمسائل والأوقات أو الأماكن من الأوقات.
He said concerning the person who commits shirk al-akbar based upon ignorance or because of ignorance, he said if a person was to fall into this, we have to look at what it is that he committed. We have to look at the crime that he committed. He said that if we find that the shirk al-akbar that he fell into and that he committed was from the things that are clear and apparent to all of the people of al-Islam, then he would not have an excuse. His ignorance would not be an excuse for him if he did something that all of the people of Islam know to be shirk. For an example, for a person to make sajda or prostration to an idol, he said this is something that is clear and apparent. All Muslims know that you cannot make prostration to any idol. So if a person was to do that, then he would not have an excuse of ignorance. But if the person does something that the majority of the people do not know about this thing, the majority of the people, they are not experts in understanding this affair, then that situation is different. He may be excused because of his ignorance. And he said, all we have to do is look at the issue of what happened with the Sahabas when some of them made halal the drinking of khamr. When these Sahabas made halal the drinking of khamr, they did so based upon some of the ayat of the Quran that they understood. So the other Sahabas, what they did was they did not say that they were kuffar. But instead, they sent to them the proofs to show them that this khamr was haram. When these proofs arrived to them, they accepted them and they came back to the truth and they left off that which they were doing. The Sheikh said, had they continued to be obstinate and the proofs had come to them and they would have rejected the proofs, then they would have become kuffar because they would have been disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. He said, so the issue of being excused or having an excuse because of ignorance, it becomes different depending upon the time, the place, the person, and the condition. Can people make shirk in the messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Please explain. هل يقع الشرك في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟
لا يقع الشرك من أحد من أنبياء الله تعالى.
يعني هل يمكن الإنسان هل وقوع الشرك يقع بسبب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ ليس هو الذي يشرك.
يقع بسببه؟
نعم بسببه، يعني الإنسان يشرك بالله حيث يعبد النبي ومثل هذا.
الإشراك قد يكون يقع من الناس بالأنبياء أو بالملائكة أو بالأولياء والصالحين، وذلك لأن هؤلاء لهم مكانة في نفوس الناس، فبعض الجهلة يرفع هؤلاء عن منزلتهم فيقع في المحظور. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام له منزلة، فيجب علينا أن نضعه في منزلته التي أنزله الله تعالى إياها، فنحبه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أكثر من أنفسنا وأكثر من أولادنا وأكثر من أموالنا، ونعظمه صلى الله عليه وسلم ونحترمه ونجله ونقدره، لكننا لا نصرف له شيئا من خصائص الله سبحانه وتعالى. لما؟ لأنه هو عليه الصلاة والسلام الذي أرشدنا إلى هذه الطريق. فلما جاء قوم إليه فقالوا يا رسول الله يا خيرنا ويا سيدنا، وأخذوا يثنون عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم ويطرونه، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام قولوا ببعض قولكم لا يستجرمنكم الشيطان. وثبت عنه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كما في صحيح مسلم أنه قال لا تطروني كما أطرت النصارى ابن مريم، إنما أنا عبد فقولوا عبد الله ورسوله. ولذلك فإن الله تعالى يصف هذا النبي الكريم بالعبودية في مواطن كثيرة من كتابه سبحانه وتعالى تشريفا له وتعظيما. فالله تعالى يقول سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى فسماه عبدا، فهي عبودية تشريف. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا أن نقول في التشهد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، فكان الصحابة على ذلك لا يزيدون كلمة سيدنا رسول الله، وإنما كانوا يقولون أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. فهذا الفعل هو التعظيم الحقيقي للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لأن تعظيمه في اتباع سنته. أما من خالف سنته وخرج عنها وقال في التشهد الأخير في الصلاة أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا رسول الله، فقد خالف سنة رسول الله وخالف ما عليه الصحابة رضي الله تعالى عنهم، وادعى أنه أكمل من الصحابة في تعظيم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، إذ أن الصحابة لم يطلقوا ذا اللفظ على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو أطلقه عليه.
He said concerning this issue that many times we find many of the people making shirk in the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the awliya of Allah, or the righteous people. And the reason that they do that is because these angels and these righteous people and the awliya, they have an exalted station in the hearts of the people. So the ignorant people, what they do is they take these things, these creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they raise them to be higher than the place that Allah Ta'ala has raised them. But the correct thing is that we ourselves should put them where Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has put them in their proper place. So we love them more than we love our own selves. Like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we love him more than we love our own selves, more than we love our children, more than we love our money. We make the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam foremost in our love and in our mind. He said, and we respect him. But in doing this, we do not attribute to him the special characteristics that are only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, why? The reason for this is because Allah ta'ala, he is the one who has sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet told us not to raise him higher than his own self. One time some people came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Khairuna, Ya Khairana, Ya Sayyidana, O Messenger of Allah, oh, the best of us, oh, our master. So the Prophet ﷺ, upon hearing that the people were saying this to him and they were having this ghulu in him, he said to them, do not say all of what you're saying. Say some of it, but don't say all of what you're saying. And do not allow a shaitan to trick you people. Say that I am the Messenger of Allah only. And in another authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, and he said to us, do not exaggerate in me as the Christians exaggerated in the son of Maryam, but say that I am Abdullah and the Messenger of Allah. The Shaykh went on to say, so therefore Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala described the Prophet as being an abd, or a slave in the Quran. And when he did so, he did it and he honored the Prophet with this description. And all you have to do is read the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, glory be unto Allah who took his abd. Glory be unto Allah who took his abd from the Masjid al-Haram to the Masjid al-Aqsa, that we bless everything that is around it. So the point here is that Allah Ta'ala himself, who honored the Prophet ﷺ, he honored him by calling him the slave and the servant here. And also the Prophet told us to say in our tashahud, when we're making salat, to say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله, that we should bear witness to this kalima. He said that the Sahaba did not say in their tashahud, and I bear witness that Muhammad is our Sayyid. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدٍ سَيِّدِنَا. He said that the Sahabas did not say this. So therefore, it becomes imperative that we also do not say it. Even though we respect that the Prophet, yes, he is our master. So we should follow what he taught us and only what he taught us. So therefore, if a person was to say in his tashahud, what they are saying, that I bear witness that Muhammad is the Sayyid as well, he has gone against the Sunnah and he has gone against the Prophet ﷺ, and on top of that, he has claimed by doing this thing that he is better than the Sahaba because they didn't say this and they didn't do this. So with that, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to take a break into the time for the next lecture, inshallah.